Let's get into our text this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're talking about just maybes. And sometimes the future in our eyes, in our understanding, is not very clear. We look to things, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow may rain. I don't know why we listen to the weatherman. He's never right. So we may have rain tomorrow. Who knows? We look at our election coming up in November. How many of you know for sure who's going to win? Nobody. And so we would like to think that it would go our way. Just maybe it'll go our way. But just maybe it may go the other way. We don't know. I mean, our free will has nothing to do with the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty, he's in control of all things. He knows the end from the beginning. That's why we look at the back of the Bible. We know how it ends. We know how the story ends, right? Amen. We get the victory. It doesn't matter what happens to us. We get the victory in the end. We know that. But as we go through life, we don't know the details past what's happening right now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen the day after. And so we love guarantees, don't we? We love to buy guarantees. We buy products that are guaranteed. So if it breaks, we get a new one. We get a free one. We have policies that are supposed to be guaranteed. We'd all love to have guaranteed retirement. Amen. Amen. We love guarantees. I think a better way to say guarantee would probably be something like a for sure thing. Something that would be for sure, a guarantee. But when it comes to spiritually speaking, how does that step you out by faith? Sometimes we wait for that sure thing, and we don't step out by faith. When it comes spiritually speaking to God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this: without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. But why is it that we wait on guarantees? Why is it that we wait on for sures? We got to make sure that everything is exactly as it should be. God wants us to, you probably don't know this, to tell you the truth, most of us face more maybes in our walk with faith than we do certainties. You think about that? When you step out by faith, you really don't know. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, he said, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves. I mean, that's, you know, you don't have to be a weatherman to know that. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves. If a tree falls on the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, guess what? There it lays. And so if a bear, we won't go there. He who observes the wind is not going to sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Don't get caught up in watching the natural circumstances of life. Don't get distracted waiting on things to align themselves. So what we do is, I mean, if you're going to wait for the right time, for the right condition, for the right people, if you're going to wait for the right atmosphere, if all you ever do is sit down and wait for everything to align up, guess what? You'll never get anything done. It's never going to be an opportune time. There's never going to be perfect conditions. And so that's what he's saying. If you're going to watch the rain fall, it happens all the time. When the clouds get full, the rain falls. If a tree falls, there it lies. It's not going to move. So don't watch paint dry. Don't watch grass grow. If that's all you're going to do, you'll never sow and you'll never reap. You've got to do something. If you're going to wait to do anything for God until it's absolutely the right time, you're going to be sadly mistaken. In Ecclesiastes 9:11, Solomon says this. Again, he said, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift. That's the fast people. The fast people don't always win. You know the rabbit and the hare? That's a good one. Nor is the battle to the strong. You remember David and Goliath? Nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to everybody. You know, things happen to everybody in every circumstances. Just maybes happen to all kinds of people. Sometimes you have to step out on a maybe. Now, let me rephrase that maybe a little bit. We don't just step out on a whim and do whatever we think we ought to do all the time and expect God to work through it. We were created in the image of God. We are created to do things with a thought out plan. We are created to do things based off of an intelligent decision so that we can take a plan of action. Don't mistake what I'm telling you this morning. Yes, we need to think about things before we do them. But I do believe that there are times that when you step out by faith, that means you're not going to be sure what's going to be the outcome. Amen? You're like, I better step out by faith and do something. Okay, well, better wait on my guarantee so that when I step out, I know it's going to happen. No, sometimes you're just going to have to step out and say, God, here I am. I'm trying this out. Not for sure, but I'm just going to do it. We talked about this, I think, last week. We miss so many types of miracles because we don't want to take a step of faith and see what God will do. We're waiting on that for sure thing so that we can step out and do the for surety. God says, you step out and I'll dry the ground. Well, I want to walk on dry ground. Wasn't until the priest took a step of faith until God opened the Jordan, opened the Red Sea, and then Israel went through on dry ground. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says, for we walk by faith, not by but we walk by sight every day, making sure everything is crystal clear with guarantees and for surety. But what about the maybes that we step out by faith in the natural realm? Let me ask you a question. When you got married, was that a guarantee? Which time? That's what I mean. So if you knew life was a guarantee, you would do it. And sometimes we even step out by faith, and marriage is one of them. When you stand there before the altar or before whomever, and you make that commitment, you say, do you promise to love until death do you part? I do. You have no clue what's going to happen on the other end. Absolutely no clue. And some people want the guarantee, that certainty so much that they'll write prenuptial agreements. I guarantee it's going to be for life, but just in case it's not, let me get my policy here and you sign this, because you ain't getting nothing when you go. Isn't that amazing how we operate on just maybes all the time? There's divorce among Christians, divorce among the regular world. Doesn't matter. Things happen to everybody. Time and chance happens to everybody. Ecclesiastes 9:11. Fishing. When you go fishing, do you go out there guaranteed you're going to catch something? Amen. I guarantee you, man. I remember growing up, I didn't grow up in church, forgive me, but of course I did do a lot of camping. It's probably why I hate it so much, but we spent a lot of time on Lake Erie. Grandpa was a one-armed man, had it cut off at a press, and so had a little wooden boat, and we used to go fishing out on that little wooden boat all the time. And I remember listening on the CB for all the people that were out on Lake Erie. You know, Grandpa, he'd put a little Erie Deary on there and be like, all right, you got yellow and blue, Danny, now, yellow and blue. Let's see if we can get some walleye or something. You throw it out there, and he'd be like, hey, Jim, what are you getting? Oh, I just got on a red one. Yeah, they're hitting them on red. And we reel in, man. We'd be like, yeah, get the red ones out, Grandpa. They're hitting them on red. And so we always want to have a guarantee. About hunting, where's my hunters? Nobody. Sweet. I don't have to worry about that. Maybe we're out hunting. I don't know. Is hunting season started? But here's the idea. You don't go out there saying, yep, I'm going to get one. It's like, maybe I'll get a buck this year. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe. There's so many maybes that we operate on. But yet other things, we operate on certainty. But when it comes to Christianity, God wants us to step out by faith and do stuff. But why don't we? Why are we waiting on the guarantee? We didn't go through this this morning, and I apologize, that's my fault. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, God is able to do far abundantly more than we think or expect. Wow, that's amazing. Look at there. I just stepped out, started saying that verse, and there it is. Stand with me. I love this power. Watch this. Stand. That's awesome. Wait till I have you sit. That's going to be even better. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Thank you. You may be seated. Ephesians 3:20, God is going to do far more than what we think. The power that works within us. You have to do something. God is going to work through you, not do it for you. And so we're talking about September and October. We're talking about God is able. We're talking about stepping out and doing something. Stepping out by faith, inviting people to church. Stepping out by faith, inviting people who haven't been to church in a long time. Stepping out by faith, giving. I told you last week that I gave 16% more of my giving. And this week I stepped out by faith and I gave more. And you can even go ask Denny Davidson. I'm not just blowing smoke. I want to try to lead by example. And so he knows that I gave far more than I did last week. Not far more is a little portion, but it's actually more. More is more, amen? People are like, well, I don't know. I really can't give anything. I can't give my 10%. Give something. Give 20 bucks. What's $20 going to do? $20 times 52 weeks. How much is that? $1,040. What do you think the church can do with $1,040? Oh, well, $1,000. Yeah, church could probably use $1,000. Well, yeah, that's just you being faithful with 20 bucks a week. Hello? But you got to step out and do something. That's all I'm asking you to do. Step out, invite people. I want to see every chair filled in this auditorium. Wouldn't that be great? Okay, guess what? God is able, but it's the power that's working within us. We have to get out there and invite people. Amen? God isn't magically going to fill this church if nobody's out there inviting. We're not magically going to increase our finances if people aren't giving. Step out by faith. That's all I'm asking you to do. Watch God work. Just maybe, we'll fill this auditorium. It's not a guarantee, but we're doing something with it. All right, if people would step out on maybes, it could be possible that God is going to show up. That kind of faith, man, when it comes to spiritual matters, we need to be like hunters. They absolutely get all the gear and all the stuff and all the things so they can lay on the cold, hard ground waiting for the potential chance of a deer to come in front of them. I wish we did that with spiritual stuff. God, I'm going to step out by faith. I'm going to get all the stuff and things. I'm going to do whatever it takes just in case there's an opportunity. Would that be great? Every man alive did something by a maybe. Even in the New Testament, there was a man that came to Jesus. In Mark chapter 9, verse 12 through 14, there was a guy whose son was possessed. And the demon who possessed him would throw him in the fire to kill him, or he'd throw him in the water to drown him. And it was just tormenting him. And he'd come to the disciples. The disciples could not heal him. And he come to Jesus and he said, man, he goes, if you can do anything, maybe you can, maybe you can't, have compassion on us. And Jesus said, if I can, if you can. He said, all things are possible for one who believes. That's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And immediately the father said, man, I believe, maybe, help my unbelief. And God did an amazing thing. I think if we stepped out by faith sometimes, we'd see God doing some amazing things. You think about all these other churches where people are doing stuff and things, and you're like, wow, I wish something would happen here, right? Yeah. You got to step out by faith and do something, and then watch what only God can do. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our text this morning. Father God, we love you, Lord. I pray that you would just meet with us this morning and just have your spirit be just opening our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, we know what the end result is. You've given us the end. And we know that we're going to be living in the middle of those verses, but we don't know what our life's going to be. And so we need to step out by faith. We need to have something to last for all eternity. You died to save us from a penalty of hell. And so we should live our lives for you, doing something for the kingdom. And so whatever that may be, Lord, let us know, convict us, tell us, inspire us, so that we can step out and just maybe see you bless our efforts. Father, we love you, God, and we just I pray that you would just have the words that you would want your people to know this morning. Speak those. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we see the Israelites are surrounded by the Philistines. And you have some of the scared people. They have left. They had hidden in caves. They were hiding in holes in the ground. Some let themselves down in cisterns. They were everywhere. They were scattered. Some people had left Israel and went and aligned with the Philistines. They're just going to kill us all, so I'm just going to defect, and we're going to go over to the Philistines. And some were still fighting. I think Saul numbers the army, and there was only 600 men. Now, because the Philistines had control over Israel, they did not allow a blacksmith to be in Israel so that they didn't make weapons or swords. So in all of these 600 men, you have two swords, one for King Saul, one for Jonathan, his son. That's all you had. Now, they had farming equipment. They had pruning hooks and different things that they kept sharp, and that's what they were fighting with the other folks. But they only had two swords in all of Israel. Saul had one, Jonathan had the other one. They only have 600 men, and the Philistines are all around them. And so when you look at the odds, you're like, man, what are you going to do? Nothing. What can you do? Sit there and die. Let the Philistines take you. Let them take you captive. Serve them for whatever. Or step out and do something. Well, what do? You're outnumbered. Now look at this in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. I love this. Jonathan gets tired of just sitting there. And he says in verse 6, he said to the young man who carried his army, he said, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised, and just maybe, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing can hinder the Lord for saving by many or few. And his armor bearer, he said this, do all that's in your heart, Jonathan. Do as you wish, man. I'm with you heart and soul. I am all in. First of all, let me tell you about this little armor bearer. You need to have crazy people like that backing you up. People that have your back no matter what. This armor bearer, he was the one that he didn't have a weapon. Matter of fact, there's only two swords. And all he had was Jonathan's shield to help. Most armor bearers, they took the equipment and the shield for the person they were protecting. The king, the captain, whomever. And it was his job to protect his person while he was fighting during the battle. How'd you like to have that job? I'm the armor bearer. I don't have a weapon. I don't have anything. But I'm going to protect you while you're fighting. Okay. And I have nothing. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm going to die real quick. It's kind of like the flag guy. I never understood that ideology. And the revolutionary floors and everything. You know, when you see all those wars, you see the first guy is out there in the flag. Why is he the first one? And they're like, he's getting shot and he's going down to his knees. And they're like, oh, keep the flag up. Don't let it hit the ground. Well, put him in the back. Why is he out there? That's dumb. But here's an armor bearer. And his armor bearer, we need to surround ourselves with armor bearers like this. People that have your back no matter what. Amen? We need armor bearers, people that are just as crazy as you are. Here's two swords in all of Israel, a surrounding enemy, and he says, hey, I'm going to go fight these guys with just one sword. And his armor bearer says, hey, I'm all in with you, man, let's go. We need people like that. We need people backing us up that are going to step out and do stuff for God. And like, hey, I'm going to be there to encourage you. I'm going to be there to help you. What do you need me to do? True armor bearers are the ones that are encouraging. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to the hearers. Your mom ever teach you, if you ain't got nothing nice to say about somebody, don't say nothing at all? Amen? All right. Proverbs 22:24-25 says this. Solomon writes, make no friendship with a man who is quick to anger, nor go down with a wrathful person. lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Don't learn about the people that are gossips. Don't learn about the people that are quick to get angry, that are grumblers, complainers, because you're going to learn their ways and become just like them. Somebody's going to ruin your encouragement. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Don't hang around with people that is not going to be encouraging. Step out by faith that are going to have the same attitude as you have, that are going to encourage you through whatever. Stay away from those people. You need armor bearers at your side. People that's going to protect you. People that's going to help you no matter what the cost. Armor bearers make sure that the weapons that you have are going to be sharp. They make sure that everything is going to be useful, that something isn't missing, that the straps aren't broken or the snaps aren't bad or the screws are missing or something of that nature. Proverbs 17, 17. Solomon says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You're going to sharpen one another. You need armor bearers that are going to keep you sharp. We're talking about stepping out by faith, and we're talking about maybe if you invite folks, we want to see the auditorium fill. I think that'd be great. 250 seats in here, 250 people. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. Bumping up against a bunch of smelly people that haven't showered today, and you're like, whew, hey, you're pretty ripe. I'm glad I'm up here. That'd be awesome, man. I want to see this auditorium full. God is able to do it, but we have to do the work. Amen? And we want to see people step out financially and give and just step out by faith. Well, God's mission of getting the gospel here and around the world is done financially. Nothing in this world is done without money. Amen? And getting the gospel out is no different. But I'm going to add one more. I'm going to add one more because as I was going through this, I thought, you know what? This probably should have been on the list from the beginning. But I think what we need to do is make a conscious effort that when you walk through those doors, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, how about keeping your mouth shut? How about that one? We made this commitment that God is able at the beginning of September, and I'll have you raise your hands and all that, and I want to see if your commitment is going to be true. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul says this. But now you must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. 1 Peter 4, 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And for the next 2 months, matter of fact, it should be for life. If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, then don't say anything at all. But Danny, did you hear that music this morning? Oh my gosh, did you hear that one guy, he was off. And I tell you what, that piano player, that old boy, he don't know how to sing. And well, if you ain't got something nice to say, keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, you can come up and play the piano for him. Amen. Hey, you put a little too much turtle wax on your head every Sunday, and them lights are bright, and it's kind of blinding, and you know what? If you don't like my preaching and it's distracting, bring shades. Close your eyes. If it's too cold in the auditorium, then daggum, bring a coat. All right? Don't touch my thermostat, Miss Vivian. We'll put a lockbox around that thing. I'm telling you, man, if somebody hadn't been here in 10 months and they come walking through those doors because somebody invited them back, don't sit there and go, where the heck have you been? How about saying, hey, man, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here this morning. Amen? If you ain't got something nice to say about somebody, keep your mouth shut. And guess what? You hold me to it, and I'll hold you to it. How about that? Let's be encouraging when we come through those doors. We got a lot of new folks in here, and you know why they're here? Because from the moment they walked through those doors, they felt very welcome, like this was a good, encouraging church family. We got some awesome, great folks here. Amen? Amen. Let's keep it that way. All right. As Christians, we should be looking to surround ourselves with armor bearers. We need armor bearers. And in turn, not only surround ourselves, but we need to be armor bearers for other people. Amen? Amen. Back to Jonathan. Jonathan, he was the king's son. He only had one sword. He's got one guy with him. He has no equipment. He has no, just two people with an army that's surrounding him. He had absolutely no way to do anything to win. But he stepped out on a maybe type of faith. You know, those Israelites, they were double-minded. They were always quick to go this way or that way. When things were going good, everything was great. But if something happened, oh, they were scared and ran away really fast. And so Jonathan, he just got sick and tired of sitting there. He's like, man, we're going to step out and we're going to do this. And when he did something, do you know that it sparked a huge fire? In 1 Samuel 4:14, it says this, if you're still there. And that first strike, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, so they're like, hey, we're going to come after you. And the Philistines were like, hey, come on up. We'll wait on you to get up here. And so by the time they got up there, Jonathan made the first strike in his armor and killed about 20 men within this little it's about an acre of land, and so he killed 20 people with one sword and an armor bearer. And that kindled a huge forest fire of encouragement. In 1 Samuel 14:21, it says this. Now the Hebrews who had been with the Philistines, the defectors that went and aligned themselves with the Philistines, they turned on the Philistines. They're like, wow, Jonathan can kill 20 with just one sword? Hey, let's get back on our own team again. Let's start fighting with our own people. And they began to fight. And then verse 22, it says that all the people that were in the caves and in the holes and in the cisterns, man, they came out and they started fighting again. Man, people were getting on board. Everybody was turning around fighting in the battle that had just started with somebody stepping out going, just maybe something will happen. And he stepped out by faith and sparked such a huge fire. In James chapter 3, verse 5, James says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. I know he's talking about the tongue, and the tongue can, it can set a big, big blaze. But I was reading the Daily Bread devotion. It was talking about in June 2002, the Haman fire in Colorado destroyed more than 137,000 acres. And for up to 42 miles, the smoke was just choking people out. Thousands had to evacuate their homes. Millions of dollars was spent to fight this fire. And it all started with just a single match. What a huge fire was kindled by a small little spark. Now, I know Smokey the Bear used to say, only you can prevent forest fires. Only you. That's my Tom Craft voice. That's pretty good, wasn't it? No, not really. I'm sorry. How about you flip that around? Only you can start a forest fire. And the same thing holds true spiritually. If you spark a spiritual fire, do you know there's going to be people that are going to get on board? There's going to be people that you're going to encourage. There's going to be people that are going to step out by faith and be like, wow, I want to be this armor bearer. I want to be a person. I want to get on board. I want to do something. Sometimes the best thing you have is a maybe. And you got to step out on a maybe. And that's what Jonathan did and his armor bearer. And they saw Israel get on fire. And they watched God do a miraculous work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, will bring us to a close here. Paul talks about Israel as an example, and it says that God documented all the stuff that Israel went through. He said these things happened to them as an example for us. They were written down for our instruction. And so I'm telling you, this is what the example was. Let's learn from it. Now here's the beauty of this. Somebody else did the exact same thing. And about 100 years ago, I believe 1918 was when this took place. This was during World War I. General Allenby in the British Army. He's a British bloke. He was in the British Army. And one of his soldiers was sitting down reading the story of 1 Samuel. He was reading the exact story that we had talked about. And he's like, we're in Israel here too. And we're at Michmash. The same place where Jonathan was in his armor bearer. And he come to General Allenby and he says, hey, he says, look, man, they did this in the Bible and it's right here where we're at. The Turks had come down and invaded from the north, and the Muslim army had come down to, and the British were there to push them back, and they were getting surrounded, and they're like, hey, the Philistines surrounded Israel, and Jonathan and his armor bearer said, just maybe God will be with us. And he went in and took this little 1 acre of land, it said, and if that's still the geography, it's just right over there. And General Allenby, he said, if it worked for them, just maybe it'll work for us. And you know what he did? That night he led a secret platoon, and they went up the backside of that hill on that 1 acre of land that was still there, and they overtook the Turks. And then another army come from the front and absolutely pushed them out of the land that they were occupying. They got the victory that day. And they followed God's word. Isn't that amazing? They stepped out by faith on a maybe. Well, God did that with them. That was for them back in that day. God did miraculous stuff only back then. No, this guy said, maybe God will do the same thing for me today. And he did. And God gave the same victory in the same parcel of land. That is so amazing. And all you got to do is step out by faith. Psalm chapter 18, verse 29. I'll close and we'll be done. For by you, I can run against a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. I can go hand-to-hand combat with somebody, probably my age, maybe a little older, a little more problems than I've got. But with my God, man, I can fly. If God be for me, who the heck can stand against me? Amen? Amen? Maybe you don't know the power of God. Maybe you've never come to the saving knowledge of God. I'm telling you, that's where the power of God begins. The ability to save you and bring you from death to life is amazing. God still does miracles today through salvation. And maybe you have, maybe you are saved. Maybe you're just like, God, I want you to do something in my life. Well, guess what? Just maybe God wants you to step out and do something and then see God work. Like we talked about last week. Israel was waiting on God to do something, and God said, you take a step of faith first, and then I'll show you what only I can do. Whatever your need this morning, we're going to invite you to come. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, which gives us guidance and direction and clarity. And I'm so thankful that these stories are, they're not just stories for thousands of years ago. They're stories that are for today. They're alive and they're vibrant, and they help us step out by faith and do something for you. Father, I don't know what you want for your people. Maybe you want them to help in the nursery, help teaching, help start a new class, help do a new life group, help be a part of discipleship. Maybe they need to be discipled. Maybe they need to be baptized. Or maybe first they just need your son's salvation. Lord, I don't know whatever it is. There's a need for somebody. And Lord, we invite them to come. Whatever their need, God, we know you're a God who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think or expect. We love you, God, and we just commit this invitation to you, and we say, have your way, God. Just have your way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.